Once saved, always saved, June 2014. You can also say, once sealed, always saved. Are you saved? Can you be saved? How do you know that you are saved? I've been hearing, once saved, always saved, is from the pit of hell. Who told you that? Can anything come out of the pit of hell? People say things but cannot prove what they say using the scriptures. Can you prove that this saying is from the pit of hell? Oh, I get it. They say, someone says, but not found in scripture. Is it not better to know that you are saved? Today in the dispensation of the grace of God, you can know for certain that you are saved. Let us examine what Paul says about eternal security. In Romans chapters 5 through chapter 1 through 5, Paul talks about our justification. Justification means that you have been made righteous. When you are saved, God sees you justified, righteous, because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and that Christ paid for your sins. In Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a verse. Romans 6, 23. It's so clear about the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Do you think that God will remove the gift of eternal life? He won't. Romans 5, verse 9 and 10. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, saved from the consequences of sin. When you are saved, God cannot condemn you ever. God will not pour his wrath on you. If God would punish you after you are saved, he would be hurting his own son, since we are part of his body and we are part of the body of Christ. See, God already punished his son on the cross. Why would he do it again? No, that's foolishness. That doesn't make sense. And now, us being part of the body of Christ, God cannot pour his wrath on us. Simple. He won't do it twice. God will not punish his own son twice. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Since the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, maybe this way they don't want you. They don't want people saved. Or that people can have the assurance of their salvation and come up with, how can you be saved? You know, or with, you must do your part. I did my part. I believed. Once I believed, I was saved. Forever. Nothing can change that. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the word in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. I rejoice in my salvation. I want you to rejoice also in your salvation. God wants all men to be saved. Not all will be saved, unfortunately. The great majority of people will not be saved. Think about that. God desires that all men be saved. Why don't you want to be saved? Don't give me that bullshit. From the pit of hell. No. If it's not in the Bible, yes. Why don't you believe God? Believe now what the Lord did for you and be saved today. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored you, thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Maybe today is your day of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. I was dead in sins, now I have been made alive in Him, with Him, and for Him. Romans 11, verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. But to us there is but one God, one Father, of whom are all things, and we are, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. We are in Him. We cannot get out, and God is keeping us. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when Christ comes, takes the body of Christ out of this world. That's, you know, He has already paid for us, but one day He will come and get His prize. We are the prize of Jesus Christ. So that's the day of redemption, when we get out of here. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and verse 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I could not save myself. Only God could save me, and He did. Not because I was water baptized, not because I confessed my sin, not because I went to church every Sunday, not because I gave to the poor, not because. Only one thing got me saved. I believe in the work of the cross of my dear Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? God not only wants everyone to be saved, but to learn the truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Compare scripture with scripture. See what it is, what is to you, and what is not written to you. I'm not saying do not study the entire Bible and stay only in Paul. I'm not saying that. I am saying, as Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is all the Bible from Genesis right through Revelation. All for your benefit, not all written to you, nor is it all for you. It's not all, not about you. No, not the entire Bible is not all about you, but it's also about other people. God did not tell you, for example, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This was good instruction for Adam. Not good for you, because you can't even find that tree on the planet. I don't know. I don't think it is here. We know that Adam sinned, and now we all suffer the consequences of what Adam did. God spoke to Adam to get out. God spoke to Abraham to get out of his country. In Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." What are you waiting for? Come on, get out of your country, and go find the promised land that God gave you. A bit ridiculous, right? Can you imagine all saved people moving to another location out of their country to look for a land? God was talking in Genesis 12. He was talking to Abraham, or Abraham in that case, but he changed his name to Abraham. He's never talking to you, but it's good information. But it doesn't apply to you. That is why right division is all about. That is what right division is all about. Understand that not every instruction in the Bible applies to you. And I can go on. What did God tell Moses? What did he tell Jacob? People like that. You have plenty of examples where God spoke specifically to one person, but that doesn't apply to you. It's good information. I'm not denying that the Bible is very instructive in a lot of things and gives us a lot of examples. But does it apply to you? Is it written about you? No, not always. No. The things that are written to you are what Paul wrote. And even that you can subdivide, because there are things there where Paul talks about the past time of Israel, the present day Israel when he was writing, and the times future of Israel. Well, that's not you. And people use that today and say, see, Paul told us this, Romans 9, 10, 11. Then tell you 9, 10, 11, he was talking about Israel. Time past, but now, and the time to come. So, don't take it for you, although you can find good information there. It's not about you, it's about Israel. People confuse Israel and the body of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, "Who had saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Again, we see the salvation is not by works, but by his grace. Titus 3, verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And then Paul says in Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, "Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophet, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Specifically, what Paul is talking about here is that now, the gospel today is that revelation of the mystery, something that was hid in God until Paul was given the information to deliver it to us. Now for another major verse. Romans 5, verse 11, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We have the atonement. Someone paid by a sacrifice for us. That's what the atonement was. In the Old Testament, the atonement was done by the priest getting an animal. You brought an animal because of your sins, and the animal was killed in your place. Today we had Christ who paid for us, because he paid for, so he was killed for us. Now that is a much greater sacrifice. I think Hebrews talks about that, the greater sacrifice of Jesus Christ. See, now I got a problem with this. Once saved, always saved, from the devil. then why would Satan want me to be saved? Doesn't make sense. If once saved, always saved is false, can you tell me how to be saved? What must I do? Remember the famous question, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is very simple. Believe on how Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and 3 days after he rose again. That's it. That's all. Have a good day.